Jesus. How are you getting on? This is a Derek and Jonah's Christmas podcast with your presenters, Derek and Jonah. How creative. But how are you getting on anyway?
I'm good. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Not too bad, you know. And today we're going to have an interview with the one and only Paul Hickey and also a pre-recorded interview with Karen. And we're going to hopefully be able to play a song for you and all. Yeah. So get ready to see what's going on. You know what I mean?
Exciting.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, grand.
Nice. So, any plans or anything?
Not really. I was at two gigs there.
Oh, really?
What was it? On Thursday and Friday.
Where were they?
Oh, it was the one on Thursday now was Greta Van Fleet. It was amazing, it was. You know, they done a huge set. There was two bands beforehand. They were great also. Mount Joy was one of them, and another one was, I think, a girl who was going out now. God forbid, I can't remember her name. But she was amazing. They had great music, and God, when everybody went crazy when Greta Van Fleet came in. But the second gig that I went to was Melanie Martinez. That was another great show. That was. Excuse me for that. but they were great gigs. Now, yeah.
Good, yeah. Mm. And have you ever done much gigging yourself?
I've done a bit of gigging now, you know. Played in a couple of places. I played in Carlow twice. As I was playing as a drummer, you know. And love playing as a drummer because, you know, you get to hit stuff. Like, you know, timing and hit stuff, you know. I love that stuff.
Way to expend all the energy.
Exactly, yeah, you know. Got to get rid of all the ADHD somehow, you know.
And you're part of a band?
I was part of a band for a bit. But after I've done the music performance course last year, after that now, we're part of a few bands, but haven't really got any of them going now yet, but we're planning to anyway. How about yourself? Do you play instruments yourself?
I play violin and piano. So.
Oh, Jesus, lovely.
A bit less opportunity to let out the frustration and stuff. But
but you get to serenade people, you know what I mean?
Oh, well, serenade's a word for it.
Are you trained classically or anything like that?
I do get lessons, yeah.
So
at least for the violin, I'm out of the stage where it sounds like two cats fighting each other on the roof or something.
Yeah, but it sounds beautiful, I bet.
It does, yeah. Well, it's an instrument, I think, when it's played well, it sounds really nice. When it's not, it's not.
It's
either good or it's terrible.
Yeah, there's no in between there, isn't there? Not with that.
At least with something like a piano or a drum kit, you know, you hit it, you're going to get some sound.
You don't have to go with a range of stuff, you know. You just have to be on time with drums and then piano. There's a bit more melodic tinker now, but...
Yeah.
You have to have a bit of pitch for that.
drums can be like... Well, I suppose not maybe melodic, but...
Could carry rhythmic, the tune. Rhythmic, yeah. What's it? It's a big part of all music, isn't it? Rhythm, you know.
Yeah.
What's your favourite type of music, anyway?
I'd say probably... The longest kind of musical interest has been a lot of films and games, because that was kind of when I first got into music, was actually listening to movies.
It's lovely.
Can't remember quite which was the first one that kind of grabbed me. Maybe it was The Lion King, remake. Yeah. Probably at least someone got something out of that. And then video games as well, because I play a lot of those. And I'm starting to get into jazz a bit.
Yeah.
Because I like the improvisation as well.
Yeah, jazz is great. I grew up with jazz. My dad was a gypsy jazz guitar player.
Was he?
Yeah. He was playing since he was 15. And what is it? Oh, I just love all that stuff. I used to go to gigs. I used to help him set up all the gear and stuff like that. You know, all the PA desks and the amps and stuff. It's just amazing seeing all that and being around all that, you know. Great hearing loads of different flavours of music too.
As well, because I like to compose music. That's another thing I really like about kind of the improvisation, because it's really composing kind of on the go.
Exactly, yeah. It keeps your brain thinking, you know. Keeps you tested in a sense. Tried and tested, you know. And then once you're good at improvising, you can sort of fit in anywhere. In a sense, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah, you really have to take into consideration everybody else and what everybody else's skill level is, so you can play with them rather than just playing the song, in a sense.
Yeah. You know?
But yeah, geez, that's sort of what I do now as a drummer, you know. I wasn't trained, but because I grew up with music, I jam well, you know what I mean? I could just, I could gel with anybody, give me a few rehearsals and I really slot in with you, you know what I mean? But yeah, and yeah, that's the thing, you know.
Oh, yourself, what kind of music are you into?
Oh, geez, I love, at the moment, I'm mad into Led Zeppelin. Well, not at the moment, for the last 3 or 4 years. But yeah, I'm mad into Led Zeppelin. And the reason I love Led Zeppelin is for the very same thing. They were big on improvising on stage. So they'd have like a 6 minute song in studio. For instance, Dazed and Confused, 6 minute song in the studio. They turn it into, the longest version I've seen is actually 45 minutes.
Really?
Of the song. Oh, yeah.
Did they ever perform that?
Oh, like, yeah.
The full thing?
Yeah, yeah. Wow. That's how they, that's where they done all their improvisation.
Wow.
You know, they weren't touring for long now. Only, not, I was going to say 10 years, but they weren't touring for 10 years. They only toured, I think, about maybe 6 or 5 in total. Oh, but every time they play it, they built off it, you know what I mean? Mm. Like,
and it would never be the same. Like,
exactly.
Every concert, it would be a different version almost.
Yeah, exactly. Like, they'd have almost, they have a rough structure, you know, each section to go into, like, in a sense. Yeah, right. So, anyway.
That's really cool.
They're a great band. But, yeah, so, anyway, we can't get carried away here. We have a structure to follow, so let's go. I think next, now we have a few minutes of pre-recorded interviews, and yeah, I'll leave you off with them. But
enjoy,
yeah. How are you getting on?
Not too bad, lads.
Thanks a million. So I'm going to ask you a few would you rather questions here. Would you rather have 100 duck-sized elephants or one elephant-sized duck?
Well, I think if I was very hungry, I'd rather, you know, an elephant-sized duck.
That's a good point, yeah.
Providing, say, it was for Christmas or something.
Exactly,
have a good meal.
Geez.
But I don't know who's going to cook it, that's the problem.
Exactly, yeah, where are you going to cook it?
Yeah.
Here's another one. Would you rather listen to an annoying laugh for a whole day or get tickled for an hour?
Ooh. I suppose it depends who is tickling me, but if maybe tickling. That's the question, but I suppose, tickled for an hour would be a long time.
Mm.
But listening to a laugh, somebody laughing, nine laughed the whole day is difficult.
Exactly, yeah.
Maybe tickle for the hour. But
dead right. Would you rather eat all your food with your hands or use utensils with your non-dominant hand?
I'd probably rather eat all my food with my hands.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think that's what I do, because I think you're more control over it yourself.
Exactly, yeah.
Because my left hand wouldn't be as good as my right hand.
As they say, caveman style.
Exactly, caveman style, yeah.
Hey, look back to the origins. Anyway, one more question here. Would you rather be a kid your whole life or an adult your whole life?
That's a good question.
It's a deep one.
That's a deep one.
Yeah.
I suppose it depends how we were brought up and reared. Mm. I mean, it sounds, being a kid might sound more fun, but then I suppose, you know, it could be tough as well. God, that's a hard one, actually.
Mm.
I mean, if you were a happy kid,
yeah,
then I would rather be a kid for my whole life.
Yeah. How are you getting on? I'd just like to ask you a few would you rather questions.
Okay, that's fine.
So, would you rather kiss everyone you meet or never kiss anyone again?
Never kiss anyone again.
Aye, jeez. Why is that?
Because I feel like love should be sacred and it should be, you know, kissing isn't a sign of love.
Yeah.
It should be taken with a certain level of importance.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Would you rather be a cowboy riding the bull or a clown who distracts it?
Clown.
Yeah?
Yeah. A lot more fun that way.
Yeah. Get a bit of a laugh, you know. Oh, Jesus. Would you rather get $1 every time you get a compliment, or every time you get a compliment from a stranger, excuse me, or $100 every time you insult a stranger?
Oh, obviously I'm going to insult strangers, isn't it? I do that anyway.
Do it for free anyway.
Yeah. I do that for 20 cents on the dime, man.
Oh, Jesus. Here, I'll ask you two more.
Okay.
Would you rather smell like garlic or a wet dog?
Wet dog.
Yeah?
Because people like dogs.
Yeah, that's a good point. Would you rather never get lost again or never lose your balance again?
Ooh. See, that's interesting as a biker. I don't want to lose my balance.
Yeah.
But Never Get Lost Again sounds handy, but that also sounds kind of boring.
Exactly,
you have to you have to go on adventures sometimes, so probably Never Lose My Balance Again.
Okay, Jesus.
I'd say that's the one I'll go for.
Yeah. How are we getting on? I'd like to ask you a few would you rather questions.
Yeah, no bothers, bro. You know me.
Sound, man, sound.
Right.
Would you rather be a bouncer in a trashy nightclub or a personal assistant to a high-maintenance celebrity?
Same job, really, aren't they?
Yeah. It's a silly one, isn't it?
assistant to a celebrity, at least you get to networking.
Exactly, exactly. That's a fucking... This dude's smart.
Them guys are paid pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
Travel and all that stuff as well is paid for.
Yeah, exactly.
You get travel work for
happy
free.
Days. Yeah. Happy days. Anyway, I'll ask you another one here. Would you rather only speak in riddles or speak in rhyme?
Speaking rhymes, I could be a rapper.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that makes sense, man. That makes sense. Would you rather spend a week in the woods without a tent or a night in a real haunted house?
Week in the woods. Honestly, No, do you know what? Spirits don't mess with that.
Yeah.
Don't mess. I've watched The Conjuring too many times.
Exactly. You never know what's out there.
You do not know.
Yeah. No need to mess with it. No. Anyway. Would you rather wrestle a gorilla or two alligators?
Two alligators. Not see what a gorilla could do to you.
Yeah.
Now, if it was a crocodile, I might consider the alligator.
Oh, yeah, they're smarter, aren't they?
Yeah, if it was a crocodile, I might consider the gorilla, but, man, an alligator...
Yeah.
I'd take on two alligators.
Ah, yeah, we're sure you're dead, right, man? Dead,
I'd be dead after 2 seconds with a gorilla.
Yeah. Man, just punch you.
R.I.P. R.I.P. Harambe, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, look. Poor old Harambe. Anyway... Moving on swiftly. Would you rather have a Texas accent and live in New York or a New York accent and live in Texas?
I'd rather have a Texan accent and live in New York. In fairness now.
Yeah.
A New York accent's just, it's cool, but like.
You sound angry all the time.
Yeah, you do sound angry all the time.
But at least with a Texas accent, you sound a bit, you know what I mean, intoxicated.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sound like you're going to have a good time.
You sound like you're driving with Freebird on.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, well, solo to be. Oh, would you rather say everything that pops into your head?
I do that anyway.
Or never be able to say what you feel?
Oh, say whatever pops into my head. Okay. I do it anyway.
Ah, yeah, we're sure you're dead, right? So, now.
They were good.
Yeah, they were good. Yeah, they were God damn, they were good. But... Yeah, now we have an interview with Karen that we're going to leave you off to, and it's going to be a good bit of crack. Karen's always a very interesting soul, you know what I mean?
She's our musicianship teacher. Well, exactly. Music performance teacher.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. You know, she has a lot of experience in it. Anyway, we're going to leave you off with them, so enjoy.
Enjoy.
Hi, Karen. My name is Tom, and thank you for doing this interview with us today. And I just have a couple of questions for you. And my first question is, when did you start music?
So I've played music all my life. I started off with trad music in the Gaelic school from about the age of 6 upwards. And after trad then I moved into a classical and more contemporary styles of music, learned piano and keyboard and studied vocals when I went to college. And now I suppose primarily my focus will be on contemporary styles of music.
Mm-hmm. And what would be your favourite instrument to play?
So my main instruments now would be piano and voice, mm-hmm. but definitely singing brings me the most joy. I absolutely love singing.
Yeah. And how long have you been a music teacher for?
I've been a music teacher for 18 years now. Mm-hmm. Actually, probably a bit long, probably 20 years if you count piano, because I used to teach piano in college. So around 20 years teaching music, but I absolutely love my job. I'm really passionate about music education.
Mm-hmm. And are you in any bands or?
So I have two music projects at the moment. One is a vocal ensemble group called Encore, mm-hmm. which is 12 female singers. We're all from Carlow. And then I also do some original music with a local musician called Justin Kelly. Mm-hmm. We have a kind of a project just getting it off the ground at the moment.
Yeah. And do you have any advice for new musicians?
Well, I suppose, firstly, the music needs to be good, you know. Mm-hmm. So if it's original music, you work hard on your songwriting, that you work really hard then on how that translates to a live performance, because being able to play your music live for an audience is fundamental, really, to doing well, you know. And then it's things like building a presence online, so thinking about your brand or image, setting up some social media accounts, a website, some professional photos, and really then playing, you know, mm-hmm. once you have your recordings done, of course, as well, just play as much as you can to build that fan base and to gain experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Karen, that's all we have. That's all our questions that we have for you.
Lovely. Thanks very much, Tom.
Thank you.
So that was great, wasn't it?
A lot of good interviews today.
Exactly, yeah, we're getting all the important people in, you know. Anyway, now we have an interview with our dearest Paul.
The one and only?
Yes, the course coordinator, you know, the most important person of all. How are you getting on, Paul?
I don't know if I'm important or not.
Hey, you're important to us.
Yeah, to us, yeah.
Getting on well, okay. Yeah. I'm standing at the last minute, like, you know, but... I'm used to that, like, you know.
Exactly. We'll make do, you know, and that's the great thing about it. We'll fly through.
You've drawn the last straw, like, you know. You were talking about Led Zeppelin playing, and now you're talking about me doing a gig, like, you know. So.
But that's the perfect band, because if I remember correctly, I think you've actually seen Led Zeppelin, haven't you?
Yes, I have, yeah. Their only show they ever did in Dublin, I saw them, 1972, in the National Stadium. They were the only one of those big, huge bands. Those bands were huge at the time, huge in the way the amount of gear they brought around with them. Like, you know, they bring 6 or 7 truckloads.
Really?
Truckloads to every gig, and like, and huge road crew and all that. Like, you know, it'd take them a long time to set up things and take things down and that, like, you know.
Yeah.
And there was no place like the Tree Arena wasn't there, the Point Depot, anything like that at all. The only place where there was gigs was the National Boxing Stadium.
That's
nice. And it wasn't a huge place, like, you know, but it was the biggest place we had.
Yeah.
And it was a very intimate place as well. There was a lot of good gigs in it, but none of those big bands like Pink Floyd or Emerson, Lake and Palmer or Jethro Tull, who were the big bands at the time, playing stadium gigs, could fit into the National Stadium. But Led Zeppelin brought down their gear, and they nearly played like a pub rock band.
Yeah.
But they were brilliant. They were really good. Really, like,
that was really intimate and amazing.
You know, they didn't even have a backdrop behind them. Like, you know, there's a photograph of it. I think I don't know where I got the photograph. No, I showed it to you.
Yeah.
There's a photograph of them, like, you know, and there's this Guinness sign behind them, and that, like, you know, and I think it's an ad for some boxing belt that was going to be on later on. Yeah, like, that was behind them. No backdrop, no nothing, like, you know. But and they sat down then at halfway through the gig, like, you know, real electric gig, and they sat down with acoustics halfway through the gig and said, we're going to try this song. It's not what we normally do, like, you know, but we tried it last night in Belfast, and we're going to try it here now today. And they sat down, they played Stairway to Heaven for the second time ever they played it live, like, you know.
Say, that was amazing, was it?
Yeah. We just thought, yes, that's a lovely song, isn't it?
Yeah.
we didn't know what was going to happen after that, like, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that every guitarist under the sun was going to learn how to play Stairway to Heaven.
That'd
like,
be banned
know?
From banned guitar from shops.
Yeah.
That's
so
mad.
So there you are. So that's what happened.
Yeah, that's mad. I've actually I've seen a Led Zeppelin tribute band in the National Stadium. Not too long ago. It was a great gig in there. They went through all the eras. They had 3 different drummers. They did. To play all the different eras upon them, like, you know what I mean?
So
it was really interesting.
Great.
Really interesting. But anyway, enough about Zeppelin. How did you get into music mainly?
Oh, now, watching Led Zeppelin in 1972, I suppose.
Yeah?
No, I'm playing music since I was a kid, and like in school, in primary school, we had this choir set up, and you know, we used to sing in it and that, like, you know. And then the Christian Brother that was in charge, he was very good. I mean, like, you know, a lot of Christian Brothers get a lot of bad publicity, and well deserved as well, like, you know. But this guy was a good guy, like, you know. And he set up this choir, and out of the choir he took out some of the better musicians, and I was lucky enough to be one of them, like, you know, better singers.
Yeah.
And I was lucky enough to be one of them, and started a smaller group called it the Younger Generation, and brought us around doing gigs everywhere, like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I remember doing a gig in a college where there was a load of fellas who were going to become priests, like, you know, and they were just, it was their last day being a lay person, like, you know. And we walked in, and each one of them had to be at least 2 2 girls sitting on each one on each knee, like, you know. And we were only 10 at the time. We were looking at this, what's going on? These are going to be priests, like, you know? So I got into music from there,
okay,
like, you know.
Yeah.
And then I became I joined a band called the Alsatians many years ago, and during the punk era, like, you know, and we did really well around here and in Ireland. And then I started making a couple of albums myself, like, you know, a couple of albums out.
Jesus. Like, you know. Well, that's great. It's great stuff, you know. Great to hear about that. Anyway, as far as I know, you're meant to be singing a song, aren't you?
Yeah. I'll do this one. Song. I have this one recorded, all right, but.
Yeah. Look forward to hearing it. Seems like it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Just haven't released it.
Oh.
But just haven't released it as a song. But that's the next project. Okay.
Okay.
Seemed like such an empty place when they took our home. Everything had changed, everything had changed. You made your way to the city in a wide-eyed way. Everything so strange, everything so strange. Caught on to the nightlife, working through the day, making just enough. Long as you have truth, long as you have love, long as you have hope, long as you have blood, long as you are free to love the one you love. Long as you have truth, long as you have love, long as you have hope, long as you have blood, long as you are free to love the one you love. Saw your friend at 17, shave her hair and lose her name. Everything arranged, everything arranged. Never settled for a good time, man. Never settled for a one-night stand. Never settled if it didn't fit into your dreams. Long as you have truth, long as you have love, long as you have hope, long as you have blood, long as you are free to love the one you love. Long as you have truth, long as you have love, long as you have hope, long as you have blood, long as you are free to love the one you love. Long as you have truth, long as you have love, long as you have hope, long as you have blood, long as you are free to love the one you love. Long as you have truth, long as you have love, long as you have hope, long as you have blood, long as you are free to love the one you love.
That was amazing, wasn't it?
It was,
thanks,
yeah.
Thanks, Paul. Really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Thanks. Anyway, that has been us, the Derek and Jonah Christmas podcast, which are presenters, Derek and Jonah.
if you haven't guessed by now.
Exactly, yeah, you know. Got to say it again, you know. Anyway, we must sign out, unfortunately.
Loved it.
Yeah, it was good crack. It was good crack. Great crack. But yes. We must sign out. Anyway, I'll say a goodbye. And
goodbye, everyone. Yep. Have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.